spake unto Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil olive, beaten for the light, to cause the lamps to burn continually in the tabernacle of the congregation. And it shall be a statute forever in your generations.
The Eternal Light. The National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations present The Eternal Light. This program is brought to you under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. Our play today, adapted for radio by Joseph Mindel, is based on the story The Town of the Little People by Shona Malachi. Featured in the cast is Roger DeCoven as the narrator.
Do not expect to find the town of Kasrilievka on any map in this world. It existed only in the geography of Sholem Aleichem. But though the name was fictitious, the people of Kasrilievka were real. They were the Jews who lived in 1,000 hamlets scattered throughout the Russia of 3 generations ago. Their world was the world of Sholem Aleichem. And if you would understand it, you must first understand Kasrilievka. What shall I tell you about the town of Kasrilievka and the little people who lived in it? That there were good people as well as bad ones, learned and ignorant, wits and fools. These things mean nothing, for they are true of every place. Instead, I will tell you this. Kasrilievka, the town of the little people, was also a town of poor people. Now, do you understand? Of course not. Therefore, I will tell you a little story. One day, a Kasrilievka grew tired of starving in Kasrilievka and went out into the world to seek his fortune. He wandered far and wide and finally reached Paris. There, naturally, he wanted to see Baron Rothschild. For how can a Jew come to Paris and not visit Rothschild? He knocked at the door. The butler opened it.
What do you want?
I want to see Baron Rothschild.
You want to see the Baron?
Why not? Why not? I have eyes, haven't I?
Then look at your coat. It's torn.
You fool. If I had a good coat, would I have come to Paris?
That's enough out of you. Bear away from the door.
Now, wait a minute. Tell the Baron this is no ordinary beggar. Tell him I've brought a piece of goods such as he can't find in Paris for any amount of money. Tell him I have eternal life to sell.
The door closed in his face. But soon it opened again. And he was brought to a room where, behind a huge desk, sat the millionaire.
Sholem Aleichem.
Aleichem Sholem.
Take a seat. Where do you come from?
I come from Kasrilievka.
And what good news do you bring?
Well, Mr. Rothschild, they say in our town that you are not so badly off. If I only had half of what you own, or only a third, you would still have enough left. And honors, I imagine you don't lack either, for people always look up to a man of riches. Then, what do you lack?
Only one thing.
One thing?
One thing. Eternal life. And that, Mr. Rothschild, is what I have to sell you.
Well, let's get down to business. What will it cost me?
It will cost you... $1 million? It'll cost you 300 rubles.
Is that your best price?
My very best. I could have said a lot more than 300, but I said it, so it's final.
All right. Agreed. My secretary will give you the money. Now, tell me the secret of eternal life.
If you want to live forever, Mr. Rothschild, leave Paris and come to live in Kazrilivka.
But why Kazrilivka?
There you can never die. Because since Kazrilivka has been a town, no rich man has ever died there.
No rich man ever died in Kazrilivka. What of it, you say? There are poor people everywhere. Then I must explain further. Poverty has many faces and many aspects. Of one man, it may be said with pity.
Poor Chaim. He can hardly feed his wife and children, the beggar.
Or of another man with contempt.
Boy, he's nothing but a penniless tramp.
But there is a third kind of pauper of whom it is said almost with admiration.
Oh, he is a Kasril.
A Kasril is no ordinary pauper. He does not allow poverty to degrade him. He meets it like a man and a hero, and he laughs. He looks at the rich and says,
"You think the world is yours because you have the money? Oh, wait. I'll show you what I can do with poverty."
He is uncrushed and unabashed. In short, he is a Kasril, and he lives in Kasrilivka. There's Mortal, the porter, for example. He delivered a package one day to a wealthy home in Yehupet. When he returned to his own home, he said to his wife,
"Bela, there's something I want.
May all my enemies not have the things there are for you to want."
"When I came to this rich man's house, the family was having breakfast. Guess what they were eating?"
"Diamonds from plates of gold."
"An omelet fried in butter. They ate with such a smacking of lips. I tell you, it gave me an appetite to taste an omelet. Bela, I want an omelet."
"Omelets are not for you and me."
"Why not? If it's good enough for the rich, it's not too good for Muttle. Make me an omelet."
"Fool, is there butter for frying an omelet?"
"No butter. Then make it without. I'm not particular so long as it's an omelet."
"And where will I get eggs to make an omelet?"
"Make it without eggs."
"All I have is flour."
"Stop bothering me with kitchen problems and make me an omelet from flour."
So Bela made an omelet without eggs and without butter.
"Here, Mr. Millionaire. Here's your omelet."
"Ah. What kind of horrible mess is this? It tastes like warmed up dough."
"It's the omelet you wanted, Muttle."
"And this is what they smack their lips about in Yehupet? I tell you, Bela, there's no accounting for the tastes of the rich."
There you have a typical customer. He insists that the only difference between a rich man and himself is the small matter of a few thousand rubles. Not that he is in love with his poverty, far from it. As Mortal says,
"Work is noble, but money is comfortable."
Money. Money is the world's curse.
"May God smite me with it as he smote Naaman with leprosy, and may I never be cured."
"But what's the use? Only a fortunate few are so smitten. The rest, well, the rest do not eat omelets made with real eggs. Shall I tell you a strange thing? To the little people of Kasrilivka, that is not of great importance. The main thing is to go on living. And so Mortal carries bundles on his back. Ezreal, the fisherman with the fiery eyes, hoarsely cries his wares, and Yossel of the dry goods store teaches the business to his son.
"Now, for the peasants who come in from the country, Shloime, courtesy blended with firmness. That's the proper manner. And above all, 2:10. Remember that. 2:10.
And with this cryptic watchword, Yossel turns to a customer, a heavy peasant woman wrapped in a voluminous shawl.
"Good morning, Katrina. What do you need today? Towels? I have them. All sizes, all colors, all shapes. But only one quality, the best. Excuse me, Katrina. That tablecloth under your arm. It belongs here on the counter. Unless, of course, you want to pay for it."
These visitors from the country must be watched, for they have a way of taking things to their bosoms deftly and casually.
And therefore, the slogan is 2-10. Remember, Schleimer, two eyes against 10 fingers.
That's how the little people of Kastrilivka do business. A feeble, meager business. A gust of wind could wipe them all out. Whenever you meet them, they're scurrying like rabbits, this one here, that one there. They never have time to stop.
What are you hurrying for?
Well, it's like this. If we hurry, we think we might run into something. Maybe earn a few pennies.
But how do you live?
How do we live? Who knows? We make a living.
Ah, do you call that making a living?
Well, it's better than nothing.
You know what it means when a Kastrilivkite says it's better than nothing? I'll tell you. Yerachmiel Moses, blind in one eye and nearsighted in the other, used to wear spectacles. One day, someone pointed out,
Yerachmiel Moses, you're wearing spectacles without lenses.
I know. But it's better than nothing, isn't it?
The people of Kastrilivka are pessimists. Cheerful, not without hope, but still pessimists. They expect the worst, and they're seldom disappointed. But when the worst comes to pass, they survive. It's better than not surviving, they say, and go on living. They have not forgotten how to sing, nor how to laugh. If sometimes the laughter has a bitter edge, well, after all, Kastrilivka is not the same as paradise. Yet, in another way, they possess great wealth. For the little people, poor in worldly goods, are rich in their faith and in the luster of their tradition.
How goodly are thy tents, O Jacob, and thy dwelling places, O Israel. Lord, in the abundance of thy loving kindness will I come into thy house.
The wooden huts merge with the kingly tents of Jacob, and the little synagogue with the temple of Solomon. For Jerusalem is closer than Petrograd, and the wandering in the wilderness is no more distant than last year's pogrom. These are not things laid on the surface. They are rooted deep in the life of Kastrilivka. Perhaps the resistance of its people rests in their knowledge of the covenant made long ago with their forefathers. But don't speak to mortal about covenants. He understands the matter, if at all, in a simpler, more direct form.
What's the matter, Yachtel?
My poor, woe is me. Troubles.
It can't be so terrible. Stop worrying.
It's easy for you to give advice.
Of course it's easy, but it's good advice. Just think, Yachtel. When Joseph lay in the pit, what happened?
Oh, don't bother me with ancient history, Muttle. My troubles are in the present.
Sure, but what harm is there in answering a simple question? Now tell me, what happened when Joseph lay abandoned in the pit?
Merchants from Midian came along.
And when the children of Israel were oppressed in Egypt?
Moses appeared.
And when Haman threatened?
Mordecai arose.
There, you see? Now stop worrying about your troubles. You know the old saying.
What saying?
Just leave a little to God.
Once there came to Kastrilivka a Haman of its own. To be accurate, his name was Agamemnon Afonaganovich, but as Mortal said,
just try to roll it around in your mouth. Agamemnon Afonaganovich. No. You'll have to have another name.
And the other name came naturally enough. You see, the man was the new provincial inspector. And by his actions, he soon earned the right to the name.
Haman Ivanovich. May he hang like his namesake.
order of His Excellency, the Provincial Inspector, it is decreed that Jews must not open their stores before noon.
Many decrees were issued, and their burden fell on all the Jews of Kastrilivka, from Sholem Bear the richest to the poorest of the poor, Beryl with the red hair. This Beryl made wine out of raisins and sold it to earn a living.
Beryl, a bottle of wine for the Sabbath, if you don't mind.
Why should I mind, Muttle? But let me tell you something. Starting today, the wine I sell is illegal.
What do you mean, illegal?
Our new inspector, Haman Ivanovich, has decided that no one is permitted to make wine without a license.
Be so good as to give me a glass, Beryl. A sip of wine before I go home can do no harm. Now, if you continue to make wine, Beryl, you will certainly be punished.
What will he take away from me? The hole in my pocket. What do you think of my wine?
Haman Ivanovich says it's illegal. I simply say, in all friendliness, you understand, I say it's not very good wine.
Perhaps you are both right. But my wine has at least one virtue.
It has.
Of course. It's cheap.
So Beryl continued to sell his wine, and as the saying goes, he starved regularly 3 times a day. But even to him there came the provincial inspector, Haman Ivanovich.
You there, Beryl the winemaker.
If you mean me, Your Excellency, I'm called Beryl the Redhead. People say my hair is more distinguished than my wine.
But you make wine.
Such as it is.
Without a license?
Without a license, Your Excellency.
You're a cheerful pauper.
What do I have to worry about? I need little. I have nothing. Almost a perfect balance.
Insolent, too. You'll be dealt with. But first, my men will search your house.
With pleasure, Your Excellency. Only one thing.
Yes?
Whatever they find, gold or silver or government bonds, let's divide it 50-50.
What could the people of Kastrilivka, the little people, do against the soldiers of the Tsar? Yet when the modern Haman attacked in another direction, they found means to defend themselves. The attack began with another decree.
By order of His Excellency, the Provincial Inspector, it is decreed that no Jewish teacher may hold classes without a special permit.
A committee of the elders of Kastrilivka went to see the inspector.
The decree is clear.
Except in one respect, Your Excellency.
What is that?
How is the teaching permit obtained?
That. Simple. By paying the required fee, 250 rubles a year. Well, what's happened to your tongues? Have you nothing to say?
Yes, Your Excellency. Our children will be taught.
You mean you'll pay the fee?
I didn't say that. I said our children will be taught.
Comets Aleph Or,
Comets Aleph Or,
Comets Baseball,
Comets Baseball.
Louder, children, louder. You can't learn if you whisper. Comets Aleph Or,
Comets Baseball.
Quiet! You there.
Are you the teacher?
Yes, Your Excellency.
Have you a permit to teach?
No.
Arrest this man. Close the school. You up there on the roof. Who are you?
Me, Your Excellency. I'm the new teacher.
Stop it. Stop it at once.
Stop what, Your Excellency?
Please don't stand quiet.
Sergeant, arrest him. Allow no one in the town on any roof.
Sergeant, do you hear voices?
Voices, Your Excellency?
Yes.
Pardon me for saying so, but perhaps Your Excellency has been working too hard.
I'm not imagining things, you fool. Listen.
I do hear voices.
They seem to be coming from beneath the ground. Here, open this cellar door.
children. Only louder if you want to learn anything.
Good morning, Excellency. I'm ready.
Ready for what?
To go to prison with the other teachers.
I don't want you in prison. I give up. If you must teach these pupils of yours, then for heaven's sake, teach them. Only...
Yes?
Don't make so much noise!
So the little people defeated Haman Ivanovich. It would be difficult to say who was Mordecai. Perhaps there were 100 Mordecais. And perhaps when it comes to Torah, every Jew is a Mordecai. For Kasurilivka was defending what it held most precious. Consider what estates have Mortal or Yossel or Ezreel the fisherman to leave to their children. What lands, what gold and silver. None of these. But a faith and a tradition. And the knowledge and wisdom to be acquired by study. And is it not written, he who learns and does not teach is like a myrtle growing in the desert, sterile and fruitless. This is Kasurilivka, whose length and breadth you can see in half a glance. Its people are little people. Their struggle never ends. And if they do not win, neither have they been defeated. For they have built out of their tradition a house that still endures. As you look at this town of the little people, there may come to your mind the old verses, "How goodly are thy tents, O Jacob, and thy dwelling places, O Israel."
If you would like a copy of the script you have just heard, you may obtain one without cost by writing to The Eternal Light, 3080 Broadway, New York 27, New York. And now we present a brief talk by Mr. Frank G. Marshall, Vice President of the American Association for Jewish Education, speaking from Chicago. Mr. Marshall.
The week of October 8th has been set aside as Jewish Education Week. It is therefore appropriate to remind ourselves that through the ages, the Jew has made learning, study, education, the most important matter in his daily life. To this day, in every religious service, we repeat the admonition in Deuteronomy that the word of God must be taught diligently to our children. The determination of the humbler people of Kasurilivka that despite poverty, despite oppression and persecution, their children would be taught, is in keeping with the finest traditions of the American people. The Kasurilivka Jew knew that the question of survival and adjustment was intimately related to self-knowledge and self-appraisal. What is the value and significance of Jewish education to the American Jew? Briefly stated, Jewish education gives us a knowledge and understanding of the history and culture of the Jewish people, its religious concepts, its traditions and customs, its art and folklore, its passion for justice and mercy, its stubborn belief that the world can and must be made a better place in which to live, not for Jews alone, but for all peoples. Jewish education enables us to know that the great moral, ethical, and social laws of our day were cradled in the hills of Judea, that the concepts of liberty and freedom found expression in the writings of the Jewish prophets and sages. It enables us to perceive the birth of the noble idea that all men are created equal, and to apprehend the source of the fundamental social law that all men should love their neighbors as themselves. From Jewish education, we learn, too, that the founders of our great republic drew their inspiration and zeal for a democratic way of life from the teachings in the Holy Scriptures and the Talmud. Through the medium of Jewish education, we derive a feeling of pride, of comfort, of security, a sense of belonging to a people which has contributed much to the advancement of society. Jewish education points out the compatibility of ancient Israel and modern America. In America, each group is responsible for the moral and religious training of its members. It is therefore incumbent upon us to furnish the Jewish child with a spirit and morale which emanates from a thorough and intelligent Jewish education. Only by so doing can we meet the responsibilities imposed upon us by the highest conceptions of American citizenship.
Thank you, Mr. Marshall. Eternal Light program you have just heard was adapted for radio by Joseph Mindell and was based on the story The Town of the Little People from the book The Old Country by Sholem Aleichem. The music was composed by Morris Mamorsky and conducted by Milton Caton. Liturgical music was sung by cantor Robert H. Siegel. Featured in the cast was Roger DeCoven as narrator. The entire production was under the direction of Frank Papp. If you would like a free copy of the script, write to the Eternal Light, 3080 Broadway, New York, 27, New York. This program is a weekly presentation of the National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations and comes to you under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.